You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
The completely redesigned ClevelandBrowns.com is here. So check it out. All our content, the new look. It's clean. It's user-friendly. It's got everything you're going to want in the way of videos and other content. We highly encourage you, check out the new ClevelandBrowns.com. All right, Nate Ulrich covers the Cleveland Browns and the National Football League for the Akron Beacon Journal. He's a regular on this show. He's kind enough to take a little time to be with us today. Nate, I want to start this discussion with Pro Day talk. And for the first time, and I know I've done this longer than you have as far as covering the league, but you've done it long enough to where I'm guessing, did you ever think you were going to have a conversation this time of year about a team pretty consistently not sending its top people to Pro Days? And that's been the story of this offseason for the Cleveland Browns, because they're one of the few in the NFL who has been going about things this way.
Yeah, and obviously it's coming up again today, right, Vic? Because Mike Mayock, it's on NFL Network, he's on the field there in South Carolina, and he says that the Browns aren't at Jadeveon Clowney's Pro Day. So here we go again with the Pro Day talk. But, yeah, I am surprised, because as far as I know, it's unheard of that a team wouldn't attend so many notable Pro Days. And it's really interesting, and I've kind of been wondering about Ray Farmer and how long he's known he would do it this way. And I kind of wonder, thinking back to Joe Banner, who obviously is not the CEO of the Browns anymore, but was when Ray Farmer was hired as assistant GM. And Joe loved guys who thought outside the box, and he always talked about it. And I kind of wonder if Ray Farmer, in his interview with Joe Banner, kind of mapped out this, pre-draft plan that he had in his mind, and if that's something that might have appealed to Joe Banner and obviously led to him pursuing Ray Farmer, because it is certainly unique in every sense of the word. You know, I've never heard of it, and Vic, if you haven't heard of it, certainly I haven't.
Do you think it's a big deal? I mean, I've talked to a bunch of scouts who say that they put a pro day at basically like maybe 1-3% of their total evaluation, if that much, but that is still 1-3% out of 100. Do you think it's a big deal, in your opinion, that the Browns aren't there? Is it going to impact the way that they evaluate players negatively or positively?
I don't know if I'd go as far as say it's a big deal, but I do think that it is puzzling. And if I, were in Ray Farmer's seat, I would have representatives at these pro days. I don't think that they're meaningless, because, then nobody would go. And I do think that they just are a small piece of the puzzle, but they are a piece. And, I don't think you get the whole picture that you would, if you did go to these. So, my main point is that Jimmy Haslam said that this is the crucial offseason for the Cleveland Browns. And obviously with the draft picks and what they've done in free agency and the money they have, that's the reason why he said that. You know, they got to capitalize on these assets. And to miss a small piece of the big picture during the crucial offseason is puzzling to me. I have to admit it. I mean, I get people on Twitter tweeting at me every time I post a story about the Browns missing a pro day, and they're basically yelling at me, telling me it's no big deal. But it's odd, and I don't fully understand or comprehend it. I understand what Mike Pettine and Ray Farmer repeatedly stressed at the owners' meeting last week when I was there in Orlando, and that's that they value these private workouts so much, and they're going to have private workouts with many of these key prospects, okay, and they don't value these pro days. I get all that, but I still think it is a piece of the puzzle that gives you the entire picture, as opposed to, a small part of that picture missing.
And just one other thing I want to insert here, because I've gotten this from this is from the Browns organization itself. The Browns have been and were represented actually at Clowney's event today. Now, to my knowledge, we didn't recognize that it was Mike Pettine or Ray Farmer, but a Browns rep was there, and apparently they might not have been wearing the Browns colors, like the teams that are dressed in, with their logo shirts on or whatever, and that you would normally expect when you go to events like All-Star Games or even these Pro Day events where you know a representative is from a respective team because that person has on that team colors on a polo shirt or pullover or jacket or something, excuse me, or something. But anyway, to the extent that as we look at what the Browns might do, so Clowney having the day that he had today, and Clowney being the guy that's very interesting in general, somewhat polarizing. There are those who say, okay, is he the Clowney of two seasons ago where he was spectacular, or the Clowney of this past season, Nate, where he seemed to be, the narrative on him was saving himself for the NFL, that he wouldn't get hurt and make sure he could cash the biggest check possible with a rookie signing bonus. How do you see him factoring into the Browns' plans, this team that has so many needs, but certainly a pass rusher, no one would be upset about that?
Well, first of all, I think that, right now, I don't think the Browns are operating with that quarterback or bust mentality at number four. So I think they're looking at it, with best player available approach, in my opinion. And if somehow he falls to them, which I'd be surprised if he does, I think he could totally be the pick there at number four. The thing about Clowney is, And Mike Mayock said it today, that, he's the most talented player in the draft, and I think a lot of people think that, but, the work ethic, the motivation, the focus, that's the question. When you only have three sacks last year and you're supposed to be this, tremendous superior athlete, it raises a lot of questions about, desire and commitment. Mike Pettine, I think, would embrace that challenge. And as a defensive coach, he would love that challenge. He really impressed me at the owner's meeting. He was talking about Clowney, and if you get his motor humming and you get him motivated and focused, he can be a dominant force who can take over an NFL game. And a reporter who was at the table during the AFC coaches breakfast said, well, Mike, isn't that a trap, in the sense that, all coaches kind of look at themselves and say, hey, I'm the guy who can make sure that I maximize Clowney's potential. And Mike Pettine fired right back, and he said, you know what, I hope all my coaches think that way, because if they don't, then I need to make some changes on my staff. That's exactly what I want my guys to think. I want all my guys to think that they can get the most out of our guys. So I don't necessarily think that these questions about Clowney would deter the Browns from taking him if somehow he fell to him.
No, and I'm going to be releasing my mock draft 2.0 today, and I agree with a lot of the thinking that you have there about the Browns. And at number four, I think that you're going to see a team go – I think there are four players that I would feel pretty good about the Browns taking at number four, and both of them are either pass – two of them are pass rushers, two of them protect the passer, and Clowney certainly would be at that list. And, the way that you look at it, it could – I think it is feasible that Clowney could be there for. Bortles goes one. And then you see St. Louis take maybe a Greg Robinson or a Watkins at two. I think it's going to be hard for the Jacksonville Jaguars, when they're ultimately confronted with it, to pass on Johnny Manziel. I just think they are going to have a tough time doing that. I think the Manziel camp believes Jacksonville is going to take him at this point, and I think it will be a tough decision for them, which could put the Browns in a spot to draft a guy like Jadeveon Clowney. Now, Nate, let me ask you this, kind of transitioning away from the pro day, this, that, or whatever. What did you think yesterday, and it's based on your tweets, you were kind of on the same page we were, about the rumors that the Browns were maybe going after DeSean Jackson? I thought it was – I didn't think it was feasible in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, from my understanding, the Browns did homework on DeSean Jackson. They think he's a good player, obviously, in three Pro Bowls, and all the stats will tell you that that's the case. But from my understanding, they did their homework on him, and that's really the extent of it. I don't get the sense that they were serious suitors, that they were, pursuing him heavily, as some of the reports out there suggested. But I can see why some of that got out there, because they were researching him, and they didn't come out and nobody issued a flat out denial because you think that they might want to, you know, not entirely shut that door, maybe leave a little bit cracked, even though it wasn't entirely open, like I said, some of the reports suggested. But I did want to give you guys credit because I think that you guys were kind of the voice of reason on that. I believe Monday, before Deshaun was ever really linked to the Browns, that all happened Tuesday afternoon.
Right.
But for the reasons that you guys discussed Monday, with just, you know, the deep wide receiver class coming up here that's going to be available to the Browns in May in the draft, you know, financial aspect of it when you're trying to eventually extend Josh Gordon's contract, and of course all the character concerns and off-field questions surrounding Deshaun Jackson when you've got a new coach and a new GM who are trying to change the culture and you know, bring in a certain kind of guys and avoid distractions.
All right. Nate, great stuff as always, and that's what we expect from you, so you didn't disappoint, and we'll do this again, my friend, if you're willing.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Take care.
Nate Ulrich.
Yep. When we come back, the notorious VIC Mock Draft 2.0. What has changed? We will find out right after this on Cleveland Browns Daily.
Are you going to eat your carrots? I mean, you got a lot of carrots in it. You ate all the meat and all that stuff in your lunch, but there's carrots, a pile of carrots.
They're like glazed in like some type of cinnamon and
carrots. I love them.
No.
They were good. Mm-mm. They're still healthy.
Vegetables are supposed to be vegetables. Well, of course,
even Megan liked them, and she doesn't.
She probably
vegetables.
Had that with a peanut butter and banana sandwich. Yeah. All right, we'll be back. Mock Draft 2.0. Vic Carucci coming at you after this. I lose myself.